You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Tuesday, March 28th, 2017, and this is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside Matty Mo, Corey Parson, my name is Greg Sussman. Gentlemen, how's it hanging? What's going on, Corey?
What's the deal, Greg? Just sitting up here hanging and banging, you know what I'm saying? Inching ever so closely to opening day. So the fantasy executive is fixing his hat, getting ready for Major League Baseball, you know what I mean? So got the NFL draft coming up, you know, whatever, Final Four. It's a big weekend sports-wise this weekend. You got the Final Four. You got MLB opening day. And, of course, you got WrestleMania, right? WrestleMania
yes, sir.
Is this weekend.
Yes, sir.
There you go right there.
Sunday night, man. Sunday night. What's up, Matty Mo?
It's Tuesday morning, 2 days closer to Vegas. And last night I did something very interesting in my biggest league, and we'll hit on that later on.
Oh, geez. Talk about it. This guy's learned radio real quick with these teases, Corey.
Yeah, he's fast.
He's a fast guy. I got to start with this anecdote that I'm still trying to fix. So, bear with me. So last night, you guys read about this Apple hack that is potentially coming? Like, let's just call it the Russians.
Yeah, up to it again?
I suppose. Somebody hacked Apple and has everyone's information. This is real. This isn't one of our fake hacks, for record.
Yeah.
And everyone's information. So, they're begging you to change your email and your passwords and stuff to your iCloud so it doesn't kill you.
Right.
Okay, well, before you do this.
Oh, don't do it now.
Before you do this.
Because I got pictures in here that I don't want I don't want the Russians to see. They'd be like, oh, shit.
You were killing some bears or something?
They're going to be like, fantasy executive, get it in. No. I don't want Nikolai looking at my women, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, yet. Yet. Okay.
Petrov.
All right.
No, the Russians is hacking my damn phone. Yeah. And I want them looking at, you know,
I don't think I remember my iCloud password.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to figure that out.
So that's an issue, guys. So anyway, this
water is good.
So is good water today?
It tastes like a beer.
That's great.
Yeah.
Is it beer?
No, it's not beer. It's too early.
Maybe it's a Coors Light.
Yeah, nah, it's too early for that.
That's good. You don't want the beer. So anyway, so I changed all this information, and I realized that my iCloud stuff was still my my Maryland information.
Really? So you just haven't changed it since the Terp days?
Yes. Okay. I had not changed it since the Terp days.
Yep.
Now, I screwed up all this information, and I realized that my computer was also you logged in with your iCloud information. So when I changed my stuff out, I was basically locked myself out of my computer.
Oh, wow.
Like I couldn't log back in because I deleted that iCloud or changed that iCloud account. So I was literally unable to log back into my computer.
That sucks.
And the only thing I was thinking about through this entire process, and I was freaking out about being able to log into my computer and get the rundown done and stuff like that. And I had a back way of doing the rundown, but I didn't have access to my actual information. The biggest thing I was thinking about, and I kid you guys not, this isn't just for the show. I have all my fantasy baseball rankings in here. Like, I didn't send it to my email. The document's saved under my profile in my iCloud. I'm not going to be able to access it. And this is the one thing, as I am freaking out last night on the phone with Apple for 2 hours trying to fix it.
Oh,
all
such
I could think
a
about,
pain.
All I could think about was my fantasy baseball rankings.
You listen, and you know what? I'm glad that happened. And you know, I'm not glad that it happened, but I'm glad you're getting this information out to the people. You feel what I'm saying, Greg?
Yeah.
I think it's important that people see how dedicated of a fantasy sports player you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's important. So I'm glad to see that you came in here, and you know, you got, you know, the Russians hacked you.
Yeah.
And you were like, shit, What am I going to do? I don't have my fantasy baseball stats. I mean, my fantasy baseball rankings, projections. Got the big GFT draft coming up. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm glad to see that your focus and your determination is on this fantasy baseball team, Greg.
I got my major draft Wednesday. I got our GFT draft Saturday.
Yes,
and all I cared about was getting my having my rankings. That was it.
That's hardcore right there, Greg.
I was freaking out.
Because I'd have been worried about the pitches.
I might actually risk the hack until all my drafts are done and my lineups are locked for Monday. Because I'm not really sure what my password is.
Yeah, don't fool with it.
Don't do that.
Wait till you come back.
You don't want to mess with
that. Because I don't think they want
I did vote for Trump, so maybe the Russians will just leave me alone.
They're like, oh, he's good.
Yeah, so you're good. So here, so this is where I'm freaking out now. So as you figured out, Corey, when I walked in here today, I'm trying to figure out the message here.
What message?
The message is, tap your ID and, oh, I got to sign in here. Is this what it is? I'm trying to sign back in to get my message on my computer and my phone again. That's been an issue. That's my current issue.
Okay.
And that's why I texted you this morning.
Yeah, and I see it came through
my email.
Greg Sussman's
email. I don't like that.
No, I want your phone number.
Yeah. You want my phone number?
I already have it, but you know what I mean. Yeah, I'd rather when you text me, I want... Because, if I see your email, it makes me think that something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Maybe this will do the trick. I don't know. Oh, I might have... All right. That's my Apple ID. Yeah. Start a new conversation. Let's see. Well, that's screwed up. Anyway, so that was what happened with me.
Do you work off anybody's rankings?
Oh, here we go. Do you want to add? Yes. Yes, I do. I work... Yeah, so...
You work off Jake's rankings?
So you think I would, because he's the number one ranker.
He's number one ranker.
And where could you read that, Corey?
Yeah, rotoexperts.com, exclusive edge fantasy baseball package. And not only is it a draft kit, it's also a full season package. Promo code free radio at checkout gets you a discount.
I just texted you again. Where did it
exclusive
come from?
Information that comes from McCain. It gets you exclusive information that comes from Jake Seeley, George Kurtz, the King, Scott Angle. You got the head-to-head points league rankings come from Mike Florio. So it's a whole bunch of stuff going on in RotoWrestler's exclusive Edge package. Make sure that you check it out.
Your number one ranker, 2 years running.
Two years running, number one ranker, Jake Seeley, which is Baby Blue Eyes. It came from your Gmail again, Greg.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Yeah, still coming from Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll work on that. Anyway, so he's the number one ranker. So to answer your question, and I'll ask Mathis as well. I started using actually my BFF, Mike Florio, his rankings. Because this Wednesday,
you're playing points.
It's head to head categories, but it's keeper and some of our categories are found in the head to head points league. Quality starts, hitter strikeouts, losses or pitchers. And I really
in the exclusive edge package, you can. Hit little filters.
Customize.
And yeah, you can customize it and then generate a cheat sheet for you.
You got it.
Do you have a package?
I
do. Exclusive Edge package.
Of course
I
do. Yeah.
Yes.
I use.
I'm talking about that.
Are you? Yeah, of course I have Exclusive Edge package because I used free radio when I checked out. I got $5 off.
I saw that's $5.
$5.
I like that.
Yeah. So, I basically was able to download Mike Florio's rankings. Because that's what I wanted. And then I put it in Excel. And then I adjusted myself. And this is what I was concerned about. Because I can always email Florio and be like, hey, dude, send me your rankings again. But as you guys see, I have my highlights done, my reds done. I didn't want to do that again. This is updated information. And I was petrified of losing this.
That's looking pretty, though.
It looks nice, right?
Yeah, the red is for is your do not draft list.
Correct. So you guys talked me out of Felix Hernandez. You know what? Don't do this thing again. So I put that in red. David Price, red and bold. Don't want David Price. Another guy that's in red, which might surprise you, Miguel Sano. Very bad for my league, given he strikes out 75% of the time, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't want Miguel Sano. Those are kind of my reds. Matt Harvey was in red until yesterday. Now he's not in any color.
Oh, you buying into this.
I'm not buying into it. I'm just
careful.
I'm just crossing him off. I'm not crossing him off the list anymore. Same with Carlos Carrasco, who is going to start the second game of the season. He went from all of us being petrified about him to now starting the second game of the season. So literally, when my thing, not hacked, when I thought I was done, when I thought I was all screwed up here, all I cared about, Matt, was fantasy baseball. This is what you've done to me.
Yeah, well, that's the world we live in now, and it's a good world to live in. Last night, I went against my rankings. I had set up a plan.
Oh, you had a draft last
year. Yeah, I had a big one. And I had the 7th pick.
You liked that, didn't you? Because it wasn't number one.
Yeah.
Changed it up a little bit.
You got Bryce Harper?
I took Bryce Harper.
Yeah,
I
went with my boy. My Washington Nationals.
Wow.
I mean, I think Bryce Harper is going to be the MVP in the NL this season. I think next year he's going to be a top three overall pick. That's something I've been pretty confident on all year.
I agree with you.
He's a guy that I love, and I pretty much mapped out a strategy with him. And I thought, at worst, if Kershaw was to fall, Derek Pearson, who was picking right in front of me, was going to scoop him up. Kershaw fell to Pearson at 6. Derek went with Paul Goldschmidt.
Nice, I don't have a problem with that.
And Kershaw fell to me, and I went with the bat that I had pretty much built my draft around and passed on Kershaw.
That's how you diversify rosters.
It's exactly how you diversify a roster, because it's very different for me and you diversify rosters, and there's big money Matt over here.
Yeah. When I'm diversifying
and
rosters,
I passed on Giancarlo Stanton in this draft. He did go 46th. He went late.
He went really late.
Yeah, that was in your wheelhouse, Matt.
Round three, a guy that I'm a big fan of, I don't expect him to hit 42 home runs this year. I expect him to hit anywhere from, say, 28 to 32 homers, drive in the 100 runs he does every season, steal like 15 or more bases. And that was Brian Dozier. I think he's, I get my second baseman locked up early. I just love everything that he brings, the whole package. So I went Harper with the mindset that Yu Darvish was going to be gone. Yu Darvish actually went ahead of Kluber and Sale. He went 17th overall. So I knew Yu Darvish was no longer going to be in the picture for me with my second round pick. So the guy that I was targeting and it was there for me was Jacob DeGrom. This was all part of the mindset. I start off Harper, I go DeGrom, scoop up either Dozier or Cespedes. That was where I was debating upon there. I do want more Cespedes in my portfolio this season. I love him too. I think he's going to be right up there.
Portfolio.
You know, I'm just going back to my Wall Street
thing.
So the fourth round was critical for me because the guy that I was planning on being there for me and being that solidifying guy is the guy that I preached on all draft season. That's Kyle Hendricks. I scooped him up.
Nice.
But the interesting one was the guy that Greg focused on yesterday was in the fifth round. He was there for me. And I was like, I just can't pass on this guy. It is a little concerning right now. And that was one Gregory Polanco.
And that's exactly where I really wanted to start the show after my Apple story. Because Gregory Polanco, in the fifth round now for you?
Middle
of the fifth round. And it was a story we've talked about yesterday. He had a left shoulder thing, but no big deal. He's going to come back. They're not really concerned. Blah, blah, blah. And I asked you, Matt, point blank, are you concerned? You're like, you know what? Not really. Not yet. And then the latest report comes out last night. He's not going to throw to this weekend. You know what opening day is, Corey?
This weekend.
He's not going to throw to this weekend. He's hitting, which is nice. He's not feeling any pain when he hits. But he's not going to throw to this weekend. That's concerning to me, Matt.
Yeah, no.
It's the same injury. I'm sorry. It's the same injury that he had last year, which has not been corrected.
No, this is true. And it was something that wasn't, it was concerning to me. That's why he fell to where he fell. He's been going in the fourth round, sometimes late in the third. I just looked at it as if he is fine, I'm going to kick myself every day for not taking him here. And hopefully I can build up a big enough roster with some depth there in the outfield that Polanco is the guy that I need to take here.
So I
just couldn't pass on him.
So you took a shot.
I took the shot.
Scared money.
How scared are you now?
Matt, scared money don't make money.
Yeah, no, that's exactly the way I was thinking. That's why I stuck with my game plan to begin with. I know, let the draft come to you, but I'm one of the bigger believers on Harper. 2015 wasn't that long ago. He's only 24 years old. The one thing I was concerned was, how is he going to look in the spring? If there was any apprehensions of his health, then I would have been off him. The dude looks phenomenal. The dude is just crushing. He looks phenomenal. I'm not really worried about spring stats, but his are off the charts. And like I said, I'm all in.
I'm in on Gregory Polanco too. I said this yesterday. Everything should make him be very, very good this year, right? Like, we knew that. It's the injury. As long as you stay healthy. And I feel like we say that a lot of players, right? You talk to Stanton everywhere. It's the same thing. The Pirates in general should have a lot of talent. We've seen Starling Marte have ankle issues, but he's a run, I mean, he's a guy that runs. Like, that's a big thing. Gregory Polanco wanted to be a little bit of both. Now he's a shoulder injury. Andrew McCutchen, that knee has bothered him for years on end. A lot of question marks regarding that Pirates outfield, of course, their top prospect, an outfielder in Austin Meadows. Let's take a break. Let's focus on the Pirates a little bit, because that was the team of day I wanted to get to last week, because there's so much around them. I've kind of pushed it back until we got more information. Now we're here. It's Tuesday. Opening day is Sunday and Monday. Let's get into the Pirates a little bit. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Today's team of day, even though we kind of stopped it for, you know, quite a while, we had a lot to talk about, you know, Mark Mendes, whatever. Pittsburgh Pirates. Corey, we actually started this spring, winter, whatever, in February-ish, and all you talked about was Andrew McCutchen. And like, we joked about it, and Andrew McCutchen was your answer for every question. And yet, yeah, now we're at the end of March, and Matt, I gotta be honest with you, one of the names we have not mentioned, I think, since you joined the program was Andrew McCutchen. Like, this was not a name that we have brought up in months. Should we be? Corey, should we be talking about Andrew McCutchen again? Like,
you know, the talent, the skill set that Andrew McCutchen possesses is real. Now, we know he's coming off a down season last year where injuries more than likely were a factor in it. He's almost a forgotten player going forgotten in drafts. Like you said, we haven't spoke about him since Matty Mobin on the show. So Andrew McCutchen is a guy that I agree has been a forgotten player. And it's interesting that you mentioned that, because, you know, I'm in debating, do I do another draft this week, or just do I just put that money towards, you know, DFS, you know what I'm saying? And if I do decide to do another draft, Andrew McCutchen's going to be on that team.
I mean, McCutchen, I do believe, will bounce back. I just don't see the steals really coming back. Maybe he gets to 10. But he actually went before Gregory Polanco last night, which was something that really wasn't happening in past drafts. So that news did affect it. I mean, I like him. He's a guy that I would take, but there's others I still do have ahead of him. And that Pirates outfield is a really interesting outfield. And, you know, it's a team that I do like that setup. So, but McCutchen is number three on my list out of those guys, Marte, Polanco, and McCutchen.
I agree he's number three, and I don't think it's close. I don't think that's the story. To me, the story is...
Wait a minute, hold on. I mean, you don't think he can outperform Polanco? Like, say he's 25 home runs, 10 stolen bases.
If Polanco's fully healthy, I think Polanco beats him. Okay. That's a guy. I think Polanco, if there was no shoulder, without the shoulder issue, which has popped up since that was Saturday, in my opinion, is a top 50 player, you know, possibly a third-round pick. I think next season he's a guy everyone's going to really be pushing up. He's going to move up the draft board significantly. If he can stay healthy.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. But McCutchen here, I don't think this debate is that he's third out of those three guys, right? Like, I think we know that Marte's going ahead, certainly after his 40 stolen bases last year. Polanco, with his potential, he's going ahead as well. I think we know that. It's, what are we getting at McCutchen? Where should we be drafting McCutchen? Because I've seen his name in drafts. I let it go by every time. He's never somebody like, oh, you know what, I can get Andrew McCutchen here. At no point have I even thought about drafting Andrew McCutchen. And I'm wondering if that's a mistake.
Yeah, well, I think it is a mistake if you're not thinking about drafting. I think somewhere like, for me, it's more like towards the late end of the fifth round, the second half of that. Like, I'm going to gamble on A.J. Pollock, a guy I really like. Pollock went the first pick of the fifth round.
And he's at a, so Pollock ahead of McCutchen.
Yeah, it's...
Hold on, let me give you a few names,
sure,
if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay, so you got A.J. Pollock ahead of him. Jose Bautista.
I'm going to go McCutchen. McCutchen's going to give you the better average. Like I said, he should steal close to maybe 10 bases. So I think he's going to hit, you know, 20 home runs or so. So I'm going to go McCutchen here.
What about you, Corey? Jose Bautista or Andrew McCutchen? I think that's a good one.
That is a good one right there. Jose Bautista, Andrew McCutchen. I love Kutch. I think Bautista's going to be a player on a mission this
same.
Year.
Same. I think he's going to have a monster year.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a player on a mission.
He's going to hit like 35 home runs, a billion RBIs.
He's going to talk big trash doing it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He might get punched in the face a few
times. Amazing stadium.
But he'll get right back up.
I got to go. I'm going to go Jose Bautista here. Okay. Matt Kemp or Andrew McCutchen?
Whoa, that's a good one, too.
I'm still going to go with Andrew McCutchen here. Like I said, I think Andrew McCutchen is going to bounce back. I think he's going to hit the 20 or so homers that he usually does. He's not a 30 home run guy, never was. You know, that's not his game. But he's going to give you the average. He's going to contribute in RBIs, runs, and like those other guys don't do, he's going to give you probably about 10 steals.
I think I'm going McCutchen there, too. Only because like I can see like when I say Jose Bautista's a man on a mission, I think he could hit a billion bombs. Like that's true. Kemp, who's done it the last couple of years, he's been healthy. All true. I'd rather take a shot on McCutchen's like 10 stolen bases. I think McCutchen has a similar power. I'd just rather McCutchen there. So I go McCutchen over Kemp.
Yeah, no, I mean
Corey.
I'm gonna go McCutchen over Kemp too. I think I like McCutchen a little bit more than I like Kemp.
I'll give you a couple more.
Thank you.
McCutchen or Adam Jones, World Baseball Classic hero.
Oh man, I like Adam Jones a lot.
I mean, all these guys I do like, but once again, I'm still gonna go with McCutchen over Adam Jones.
Like getting farther away now.
No,
yeah,
I mean,
you know, I think you're getting farther away.
Same, but because I have Adam Jones like three or four spots below him on my rankings.
Yeah, Jones is moving up. In the rankings as well. Okay, which he deserves to.
I got one, and I know where you're going to go on this one because you just drafted him last night. Andrew McCutchen or Yoenis Cespedes?
For me, it's Cespedes.
It's Cespedes for me. Too.
I mean, I really thought about taking Cespedes in the third round. I went with Dozier, of course. He's going to give me similar power. He's going to give me the runs that I needed at that point, and he's going to steal more. You know, that 15 to 18 stolen bases was the difference maker for me.
I totally agree with that. Last one before we move on to a different thing on the Pirates I want to talk about. Andrew McCutchen or Justin Upton?
That's another good one, but I'm going to go with McCutchen. Okay. Of course, I don't think with all these guys, the home run differential may it be, like, say it's 10 different home runs or so, possibly maybe 12 at the most. But his average, I think, is going to be significantly better than all these players.
I agree. I tend to agree with
that. Yeah, I agree with that, too.
Okay.
And don't get me wrong. I like Upton. I think that he's a guy that can hit you know what I'm saying, 30 home runs this upcoming season. He might even steal you 7-8 bases, around the same as McCutchen. But I do think McCutchen's batting average would probably be about 40 points higher than Justin Upton's.
Yeah, Justin Upton is a guy I think people kind of sleep on a little, too. And he's a guy that he's frustrating because he's so damn streaky and stuff like that. But like I said, the end of the year, you know, the home run numbers are there. All the totals kind of line up. So if you're playing Roto, I can understand how maddening he is in like a head-to-head format. But in a Roto format, I think Upton gets overlooked sometimes.
So moving on from the Pirates, moving on around the Pirates, I should say, around the diamond a little bit. Let me get the catcher position in Francisco Cervelli, who, you know, we talked about a lot of second catchers before. We talked yesterday about Tyler Flowers and how much you like Tyler Flowers. And Frankie Cervelli is another one of these guys. I think at end of drafts, he's there as a second catcher. He's not sexy. He's a guy that's always injured as well. But like we've seen him hit for high average at times. Can Francisco Cervelli be a totally suitable second catcher?
Well, if you punt the position like I usually do, and I did last night, he was one of the guys that was in my queue. And as long as he gives you that average, he's not going to give you much else. You're basically banking on that average to kind of help you with the guy that I once again took, Tyler Flowers. So, in fact, you pair him with somebody like that. If you can get him to hit for a solid average and have a guy like a Flowers who you're hoping to get the 15 or so home runs from, then that's a good tandem there for me.
Yeah, he's all batting average. He's a zero in everything else. He's a locker room guy.
He's a locker room
doesn't
guy.
Doesn't make a difference on your
But I like him. I like him going pumping his fist and putting his fingers out. And
yeah, no. He's a locker room guy. He's fun. He's a ton of fun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, he's going bat 290 and he hit two home runs.
Yeah, probably. All right. So I didn't ask you that. What about at the closer situation? Who and this is somebody that Matt Modica has totally been like, no!
Oh, he hates him.
No!
He hates him.
I got no love to tell you about it.
That's not nice.
I'm sure he's a good man. I'm sure he's a good man. This is all fantasy. Nothing
personal. I'm just kidding. So you're totally out of Tony Watson, right?
Yeah, I just, like I said, I didn't like the skill sets last season. He was the guy that had good skill sets prior. I didn't like him last season. The way he ended last season as the closer wasn't good. He's going to go start the season as the closer. The Pirates are hoping that he can be good, or maybe he's a guy they can move. Daniel Hudson, as I've mentioned, is probably the guy who will be first in line. And as I've continually said,
No point has Clint Hurdle been like, listen, this is an open and closer competition. Like, Tony Watson's his guy. From the beginning, from right now, Tony Watson is the guy. We look at a bunch of, we look at a lot of situations. Like, I compare this a lot to Texas, right? Because Texas has Jeremy Jeffers, it has Matt Bush, who people seem to love. And everyone thinks Sam Dyson's like the worst out of those three. I know a lot of people think Tony Watson is the worst out of those three when you include Nicasio as well. So, in both of those situations with Dyson and with Tony Watson, at no point has the closer been like, has the manager been like, my closer job is up for grabs here.
Well, the one thing I hate taking is like in the, like around that 10th round-ish area, the closers that go off the board there, those are the guys that really don't have the job security. And even a guy like Rodriguez, like K-Rod, who has the security, but it's looking awful.
Right.
He's getting older. Out of, like, say, Francisco Rodriguez, Tony Watson, or a Sam Dyson, I would prefer Sam Dyson out of those three. A.J. Ramos, I think he is better than the Marlins think he is, but I don't think the Marlins really want him to be the closer. I think at some point he's going to, you know, he has those couple of bad days. The writing's going to be on the wall. It's either going to be like a Ziegler or someone else.
The closing situation is always tough to figure out. Like, I found myself, like, even in the draft earlier this week, looking at Dyson and looking at Watson because I feel like it's almost a surer, if you will, thing than, like, even figuring out Ottavino and Greg Holland. Like, Holland did not pitch well yesterday. He's pitching again today. Like, I know that Watson's the guy. Like, they have not made any proclamation out there in Colorado. I want that rather than, like, Fernando Rodney in Arizona, who they tell me is a closer, but, like, I don't want Fernando Rodney. You know, like, I think when you get past these first 10 guys or so, and I know, Matt, you have been jumping on the Edwin Diaz's, people have been jumping on the O's and getting a guy in the top 5 to 7 closers just so you have one, and then you can play around with the Tony Watsons of the world. But if you don't, you need to jump on a couple of guys. I don't think, Corey, that, like, there's worse than you can do, basically, what I'm saying, than in Pittsburgh.
I will back up your point to the fact that you want the guy that has the job currently. I mean, he has to lose that job. So going into the season, it's his. It's just for me, being more of a skills guy, I'll just let Andrew Miller fall to me, take that 100-plus strikeouts, hopefully get, you know, anywhere from a half a dozen to a dozen saves at worst. Or maybe possibly more, but I don't want to pass on guys in that range. Like, I jumped up Jake Lamb in the 9th round. I took him. I could have went with a Sam Dyson or something like that.
Right.
Didn't want to do that. Or in the following round, I wanted Tim Anderson. I needed speed. My team, the one thing I am deficient on this team is overall speed. I played the chicken game with it last night, and I lost. I was banking on getting Raul Mondesi Jr., who is somebody that should be on all radars now.
Yeah, because he got a starting gig, right?
He got a starting gig. If you watched him yesterday, he stole like 3 bases.
In one game?
Yeah. I mean, the dude has legit speed.
His father did, and then he got fat.
What happens, Greg?
We all get a little older. But he was a guy I got sniped with. I think Steve Japinka beat me to him in the 18th round.
Like, we mentioned Raul Mondesi on the news desk yesterday, Corey, and I had responded, listen, as much speed as he has, I'm concerned that, like, he's never going to get on base to use that speed.
I mean, that's the double-edged sword here. You know, he's got to get on base. He's got to hit just enough to do it. But if he does it, and being that he has a starting gig, if he can stay in the lineup, I think 30 stolen bases is the floor.
Right.
40 is very realistic. So I was heartbroken not to land him because he's a guy that I have on multiple teams.
By the way, speaking of speed, I've been looking at my man, Matt, Delano DeShields, who has 12 stolen bases in the spring. This guy runs every time he's on base.
That's another guy I waited on and lost.
Like, Delano DeShields is a guy that, like, he could wind up playing left field for this team. Like, I know Raul Mondesi is a starting second baseman, and I get that. But if Jerickson Profar struggles early, like, Delano DeShields is going to get an opportunity.
No, he's a guy, you know, and if Carlos Gomez, who's often injured, and, you know, if something goes down with him, he could be the center fielder. So DeShields is somebody I should have gotten, or one of the guys in San Diego. But, you know, it gets tough. I'm playing in a room with very skilled people. You know, they don't miss a beat, these guys. They know what the hell they're doing. So you have to, you know, at some point you have to make some decisions. I had to fill up my middle infield, so I had to concentrate on guys like in the early 20s. Excuse me, but like Colton Wong and Jorge Polanco types. I mean, I still believe in Wong's talent. Jorge Polanco is a starting shortstop there in Minnesota. So that caused me to miss out on a couple of speed guys that I did want. You know, it's all about, you know, you have to make some tough decisions in drafts.
Yeah, you do. And obviously, like, you always want to make the right one. And I feel like, I even the other night, I had my cue and I'm just like, I didn't know what to do. You're right, like, you go back and forth and back and forth. Let's take a break here, guys. Let's come back. Obviously, there's one more Pittsburgh Pirate things I want to do. I want to get into starting rotation here a little bit, talk about Jameson Taillon and his value, and where we should be drafting Tyler Glasnow, if at all, and some of the other starters. And then also, Austin Meadows, I mentioned. Josh Bell, I need to mention. What would you do about those guys?
And there's somebody else.
How about that? Let's talk more about the Pirates next on the Roto Experts. So the Pittsburgh Pirates, much like my Arizona Diamondbacks, have quite a bit of fantasy intrigue around them. We'll talk about the outfield, the back of the bullpen, even the catcher for a little bit. Now I want to get into the starting rotation, where we've talked about a bunch, Matt, you and I, about Gerrit Cole and like how you're picking him really in like the 10 to 15 range for a pitcher, and like you're thinking you can still get an ace out of it. That's what I like about Gerrit Cole. But then you get to a guy like Jameson Taillon, who I think everybody really, really likes, and I'm wondering if they should as much as they do.
I think he's shown the skills. I mean, the problem with him has been the health in the past. He was kind of like 2 years of injuries. But what he showed last season was what makes him so intriguing is when young pitchers have control and command, that's a major boom for me. He was a highly talented player, pitcher for the Pirates. And he's got some really good stuff. So he's a guy pitching in PNC that people are very interested in, and I think there's reason to be.
Yeah, he has, and Matt mentioned that he has good stuff. Fantasy owners will tend to overlook because he's not like a big-time strikeout pitcher, but command is excellent, so... Jameson Taillon. I'm in on Jameson Taillon. So far they're 2 for 2 in rotation.
It also fits the cool name theory. By the way, you can make a lot of good team names with Jameson Taillon.
Give me one.
A shot of Jameson.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. That counts.
For that.
Pickleback.
Pickleback. I never had pickleback like a couple months ago. Now it's like all the rage. It's damn good.
Then he gets Ivan Nova.
You're welcome.
Who's on my team?
Who's on your team? I mean, you have 75 teams, but...
Well, no, I'm saying last
night. So he's on your team last night. Yeah, Ivan Nova's a name. I gotta see where he's on my list. Like, Ivan Nova's a team, like... Is he a Ray Searidge whisper guy?
I think it's... I mean, Ray Searidge, I'm sure, helps out in the overall grand scheme. But I think when he got to Pittsburgh, from what I heard was they told him, pound the strike zone. Throw strikes. The ballpark is very conducive to Ivan Nova's game. Yankee Stadium was a detriment to Ivan Nova's game. That, you know, the home run ball was a major issue. Now he's in the National League. He's in a nice ballpark. Would he? I mean, like I said, walking three batters in like 60 innings. I think he had 51-3 strikeout to walks last season when he joined the Pirates. That's just phenomenal. What I did last night was I wanted guys in this big money league that were going to give me innings, and I wasn't just looking for the upshot guy, that you know, the sexy strikeout guy. I wanted guys that I could rely on. So, you know, Ivan Over is a guy that I took over Garrett Richards for the fact that I think Ivan Over, I don't have to worry about, is his arm hurting? Are right. the Pirates going to baby him or anything like that? Which, I mean, Garrett Richards is going to be handled with some kid gloves at times. I mean, he has much higher upside. Don't get me wrong.
Okay. So, yeah, yep.
the homie Ivan Nova, he's efficient. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you come in there, he'll eat up some minutes for you, maybe give you 180 on the season, something like that. Command is good. He's not going to ever like really blow you up. He's not going to blow nobody away either. But solid, steady, you know what I'm saying? Middle of your fantasy rotation. I say rotation to piss Scott off. Middle of your fantasy rotation guy.
Well done, Corey. I think you pretty much hit that one out of the ballpark.
Thank you.
Let me give you a few for Ivan Nova here.
Sure.
All right. Okay. Hey, you talked about Garrett Richards before. Okay, here we go. Ivan Nova, I just highlighted on the list.
You highlighted him.
Just give him a highlight.
Yeah, I like that.
Ivan Nova or Joe Ross?
I know there's a lot of Joe Ross love out there. Joe Ross does have some nice upside. Could he be a clone of his brother? If he can get to that level, then it's Joe Ross, but for 2017, for me, it's Ivan Nova.
Ivan Nova or Tanner Roark?
I know people are going to go Tanner Roark. I'd rather have Ivan Nova.
Ivan Nova or Kevin Gausman?
I'm going to go Gausman. I really like what he did those final 2 months. And I think he's going to be really good. I know he's in a tough park and at a tough division in that American League East and Camden Yards, but I do believe in Gausman's talent.
Ivan Nova or Vinny Velasquez?
Once again, for me, for 2017, I'm going with Nova.
Yes.
I'm going with the floor over the upside play here.
Nova or Sean Manaea?
Problem with Sean Manaea, I love Sean Manaea. I really, really do, and I've stated this. The problem is that defense is horrific. That team is really bad. So he's going to be hurt by the wins, and you know, when you got to get more outs and stuff, that's going to take a toll. So I'd probably slightly go Manaea here, but I'm fine with Ivan Nova.
I just realized that after what you're saying, I wouldn't. Just throw Manaea.
Yeah, maybe it's just, I just have so much love for Manaea. You know, I'm trying to like talk myself into still. I think Manaea has really good skills, so it's hard to turn away from him. Is what I guess what I'm saying.
All right, last one. For last two, I should say, Ivan Nova, Julio Urias.
It's the thing with Urias is how the Dodgers going to handle this dude. That's the thing. I mean, I'm all in on the talent. I just don't know if they want to wait with him. Like, he's definitely going to open up in extended spring training.
We know that.
Totally cool with that. But with this rotation, when do they want to really bring him in? I think he's a weapon they want to really utilize for the second half and that playoff run. That's where they really want to use their bullets with him. I'm going to go with Urias on talent, but, you know, I don't have any problem with anybody taking Ivan Nova over him.
What about Carlos Rodon?
Oh, it's Ivan Nova. I mean, Carlos Rodon, he's the more talented pitcher once again, but, you know, it's already been twice this month with the arm, you know, holding him back. And as you mentioned yesterday, that he said it was the tightest his elbow ever felt. That's not what I want to hear.
Okay, moving on. Josh Bell, first baseman, former top prospect. Josh Bell's a name that I think started out really hot this spring, and I thought with a nice spring he would shoot up draft boards. We haven't seen it, Matt.
Well, I don't think he's really a power guy. Like, a lot of people want that power from that first base position. I think he's a good hitter, and I think he will show that over time. So he's not some. I mean, it's for this season. It's kind of tough to go all in on a Josh Bell type. I mean, a guy that I pushed up the board yesterday because I missed out on CJ Cron as the first baseman would go, and I was trying to have Cron as my last guy to start there, and then back it out through there. I pushed up Park from Minnesota.
Yeah, Park. Okay.
I took him in the 17th round. I had taken him in the 22nd round on Saturday. Rob Silver, the defending main event champ, he took him on Sunday. It's pretty much sounding like he's going to be the opening day DH. He has first base eligibility. So I know the news is moving up. Everybody knows it. So I really didn't want to wait any longer.
The Pirates also, of course, have Austin Meadows coming up at some point. Is that worth a draft pick late? Because they're out, but they're, I don't know where he would go because their outfield's so set. Unless McCutchen gets traded.
Yeah, if you have a deep bench, I mean, I'm fine with it. In the draft and hold leagues, I loved Austin Meadows. But it's tough in a short bench to just wait, have that guy waiting there. At some point, you're probably going to have to cut him anyway. Or you're going to cut somebody else that you wind up regretting.
Right.
Yeah.
The other guy, though,
here you go.
Who, if anything, I mean, I'm probably going to be bidding on him for Sunday. I should have took him later. This friggin' Kyle Barraclough pick in the 27th round is pissing me off. It's pissed me off from the minute I made it last night to this morning. I'm like furious about it.
Why?
You never see Matt so angry.
Yeah, I should have taken Andrew Tolles. I didn't take him. That was just stupidity on my part. But it's probably going to have to be Adam Frazier is the guy to be on in Pittsburgh.
It's interesting because Adam Frazier's a guy that when we go over some of the minor leagues, the spring training stats last week on the first day of spring, Adam Frazier led the league in like every category. He had just a marvelous spring. What should we know about Adam Frazier? Where is he going to play? Like, what's his path here?
Yeah, where is he going to play?
Well, the thing is, the reason I'm saying that he's a guy to be on, they're going to probably play him all over the place, infield, outfield, if somebody needs a rest. But the reason I'm saying it is I took Gregory Polanco. So Polanco does not start. Say they give him a 10-day DL. They just want to be extra careful, or they want to hold him out an extra few days. And I need to, put somebody in. He's probably going to be the guy that's going to be playing in the outfield for Gregory Polanco.
Okay, so Adam.
I mean, this is all deep league stuff.
Obviously,
yeah. No.
What about a guy like Josh Harrison, who we haven't mentioned?
Yeah, Josh Harrison's another guy that kind of falls, I think, a little further than he should. I did want to take Josh Harrison. He went two picks before I was planning on taking him. Maybe I probably should have took him in the 18th. He went in the 19th round, but I was happy to get my boy bigger. But Josh Harrison, he's probably still your 20 bases. That's, he could probably hit you like, seven home runs. And give you like a .280 batting average. That's pretty nice.
So. Yeah, that's fine. I drafted Josh Harrison a couple of years ago. I'm like, all right, this is pretty good. And I was like, yeah,
You're looking at middle infield type.
Yeah, exactly. All right, take a break. Come back. Wrap up the Pirates talk and finish out the hour. Real quick hour here. Roto-Experts in the Morning continues next. Kind of wrap it up the Pirates talk here. That's dominated hour number one. Just a couple more players. Quickly to tell me if there are any relevance, Matt. And Corey.
No, I had a question.
Oh, yeah, please.
You go first.
All right. Jung Ho Kang, is he going to play baseball this year?
Right now, it's not looking too good for him. He's a guy that I really liked back in like December. I was drafting him in like the 14th round, and I don't have that answer. Maybe hopefully at some point he's back in the country. They let him in, but until they let him in, it's not looking good.
Okay. Corey, you want to ask your question now?
Is Michael Brantley moving up in drafts?
Yeah, Michael Brantley is moving on up. They're saying they want to play. He's going to play 3 days in a row. It's the guy that I've shied away from, maybe this weekend or tonight. I got to pay a little more attention. I mean, he does offer, a very, very nice skill set. I'm just, still worried about that. But he went in the 11th round last night.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely moving up. When I got him, I think that was the 21st round I got him in.
You know, I love Brantley.
I'm in the 21st round.
To play 3 days in a row this week. This is the final hurdle. It's pretty good.
I'm very intrigued in doing another baseball draft. Jared Familia.
Yes, the news on that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it sounds
promising
well,
for him.
You know,
promising
for him. Unfortunate situation, but prominent for him. I mean, the Major League Baseball really couldn't suspend him any more than 30 games after what they did last season with the Reyes and Chapman issues. It's unfortunate. Hopefully, MLB one day will step up and put the hammer down on domestic violence.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the sounds like it's going to be less than 30. That's the reports.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good, obviously, if you are a Jarius Familia owner. Jordy Mercer, we talked about yesterday briefly. Probably not going to talk about that. Then the last member of the Pirates rotation, or possibly not member of the Pirates rotation we had to talk about, is Tyler Glasnow. Came up last year, major control issues, right? Control issues are the biggest thing, some cold injuries as well. And now you see almost every time he starts both the good and the bad with him. He can strike out 10 guys in 5 innings, but he can also walk 10 guys in 5 innings. Is Tyler Glasnow going to make this rotation?
He might. I mean, they might want to hold him back for like a month just to save. Maybe not even a month. There's like a certain, I don't know if it's like 14 days into the season, where they get like an extra year of control. And knowing the Pirates, that's something that they usually do. At some point, he, in the near future, even if he doesn't start in the rotation, he should be up in the Pittsburgh Pirates rotation. I mean, he's a guy, like you said, there are going to be times you're going to watch him pitch and you're going to be like, wow, this guy is just flat out dominant. And other times you're going to be like, what the hell's going on here? And you're going to be watching your whip get wrecked. So, I mean, it's, maybe I'm wrong, but for me, it's not, I mean, if you want to take a late flyer, yeah, sure. But for me, I think he might do more damage than overall good in 2017. But for like a dynasty keeper format, yeah, sure.
Definitely, yeah, he's got it. Just like most young pitchers, his command, you know what I'm saying? This electric strikeout stuff, you know what I'm saying? But his command is, ah.
Yeah, think of Blake Snell from last year. Go look at his line.
Just a bit outside.
Well, Harry Doyle? The other member of the Pirates rotation, Chad Cole, Drew Hutchinson, Stephen Brault.
I mean, Hutchinson's a guy I've been waiting on forever.
20 years now?
Yeah, and he's getting lit up in spring. It started out good, but hasn't been too good of late.
Yeah, I think he's not somebody I'm going to be drafting either. All right, so that kind of finishes out the Pittsburgh Pirates section of the morning. I will now take them off my team of day list, finally.
Yeah,
and we'll move on.
Shout out
to Pittsburgh, man. I root for them. You know, a small market team. You hope they do well. All right, let's get into some news and notes from yesterday, or the last couple days, basically. And you mentioned during the break, and I'll bring it up now, Hyunjin Ryu here. He's in the rotation. He's the number 4 pitcher because he looks good. He feels healthy. Matt Modica, you, sir, love the Dodgers. You want every Dodgers pitcher. You have Kenta Maeda. You like Rich Hill. You love Clayton Kershaw. There's only 2 more Dodgers pitchers left. One of them is Hyunjin Ryu. The other one's going to be Brandon McCarthy or your boy Alex Wood, who he also drafted over the weekend. So, Hyunjin Ryu's in the rotation. Will he be in your fantasy rotation?
I almost took him last night. He's a guy that has to have consideration now. He's pitched really well in the spring. The question is going to be, can he hold up? You know, it's been like 2 years. The shoulder's been a major issue for him. Looking really good, but like I said, we got to take the sample size into consideration. The main thing that's going to piss me off is they're probably going to give the rotation spot to Brandon McCarthy because Alex Wood has pitched in relief, but I think that's a major mistake. I still took Alex Wood last night because he's a guy that even if he doesn't get the rotation nod to start the season, I think at some point he is going to be in the rotation. And I like the skill set that he possesses.
What about you, Corey?
Hyunjin Ryu. Yeah, I can see a dollar make it holler. You know what I'm saying? I think obviously he's done the work he needs done in the spring to get this to get the job. When he's healthy, he pitches pretty good. He'll give you an ERA probably in that 3-1 range. But the thing about it is remaining healthy is a thing for him. So this is a situation that, you know what you get when you're getting him high upside, but a guy who injuries seem to be a problem with.
So he was the guy that last year I picked him up before the first injury, before the second injury, and I waited. He was a guy, because I remember a couple of years ago, he just went out and pitched very well every time out there. Gave you a quality start in my kind of league that was very, very good. So I waited on him, and I thought I was getting a nice number three starter, and like, this was perfect. He never got healthy last year. So this year, even though I feel fantasy burned a little bit, I'm still kind of feeling Hyunjin Ryu because of his talent, of his ability to just get guys out. And not, he's not going to be a 1.8 ERA guy. I get that. But he can be a 3-5 guy and pitch quality starts on a regular basis.
Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, somebody asked me just now on Twitter, Bundy or Ryu? I said Ryu's looked great, but I went Bundy.
You went Bundy over Ryu. Did you go Ryu or, oh man, Ryu or Jarrell Cotton?
Jarrell Cotton.
Ryu or Zach Davies, your boy?
Maybe I'll go Ryu for the Dodgers.
All right, that was. Man. Take a break. We're gonna come back. Guess what? It's pitching staff we're talking about next. No Mets.
Oh no.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Remember, the exclusive edge package is available right now at rotoexperts.com. And Corey, it is not just for your fantasy draft. You buy it right now, you get it for your draft, and you get it for the entire season.
Yeah, you get the season-long information, too, so you can have waiver wire stuff because you got to pick people up and, you know, different specialty columns. Obviously, George Kurtz take care of the closers because saves such a big, important part of fantasy baseball. You got to know what's going on with that stuff. So I think Tim McCullough continues to do rankings throughout the course of the season. You know what I mean? Scott, you know, go to the ballpark and stuff like
we
that.
We have waiver wire columns, of course.
I said waiver wire, Greg.
Well, it was the first one I said. I'm repeating it, it's important.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, no, it's good stuff in the exclusive edge package of fantasy baseball. So I'm looking forward to it, the season starting, and reading all the great work. And the promo code Free Radio will get you $5 back in your pocket.
You use it, man. Yeah, you literally have no reason not to use it.
I got five on it. You can put that $5 back in your pocket, and that one's on us.
So, anyway, the New York Mets. We talked about Matt Harvey yesterday.
Oh, Lord. Do we have to do this?
We have to. I'm sorry. The New York Mets. We talked about Matt Harvey yesterday, and like, if you want to take a shot. And everyone, it's amazing how quickly everyone got optimistic on people like Matt Harvey, right? Like,
I'm not.
Yeah, these spring training games, people, that's the thing. Like, you watch these games and people's minds change rapidly. But, I mean, Harvey's a guy to me that is, overall, has looked very good in the aspect that, you know, this was a major, major injury surgery that he went through. But what does a six-month season entail of Matt Harvey?
Great point.
You know,
it's a great point. So that's
go ahead.
So that is the optimistic part of Matt Harvey, right? Like, all right, he can do this. Well, what does the season entail? So that's Matt Harvey. But like I said, when someone pitches well, or someone immediately pitches poorly, or gets, you know, a little twinge like Stephen Matz, we're very quick. Like, we are very opinionated, no doubt. We are very quick to make judgments, which leads me to Zach Wheeler, a guy that nobody has been on this spring. Starting extended spring training, he might go to the bullpen, he might go to the minors. Nobody wanted Zach Wheeler. And then all of a sudden, Steve Matz gets hurt. Seth Lugo comes back from the WBC after pitching every game for Team Puerto Rico, and now he can't pitch
anymore. That might have been a problem.
now he can't pitch anymore. And all of a sudden, that fifth rotation spot looks like it's Zach Wheeler's. And his last test was yesterday, and all of a sudden he pitches really well, and now all I'm hearing, gentlemen, is that should we be drafting Zach Wheeler?
Well, the interesting thing from last night was somebody we had on the show about a week or two ago took Matt Harvey in the 11th, Steven Matz in the 18th, and Zachary Wheeler in the 23rd.
Is he a Mets fan?
I believe not. But, you know, he...
Who is he? Forgot his name?
We had him on the show.
Vlad?
No, he was actually a guest that called in.
Oh, what's his name? Derek Pearson?
DP.
So, I mean, look, for where he got, you know, especially Matt, I considered him too. I'm just really, you know, I'm more concerned. I mean, Matt is just becoming more concerning to me, and it's somebody I've drafted consistently throughout the early draft season.
Well, but you know what? You consider him, but it's almost like one of those things. We talk about this all the time. It's like, why bother with this? Like, there's a million other players. Why are we bothering with getting into this?
Yeah, it's a headache, and you know,
it's a headache, and we try to avoid this.
It's the headache. It's, you know, where he got him, I have no problem with. I think that's fine. You know, maybe I should have took him there too, but I was trying to build for this specific league. I went in with I wanted the arms that have pretty much thrown the close to 200 innings or 200 inning arms. You know, maybe not the flashier names, but that's what my foundation was to be for my rotation.
There you go. We don't have to go to the Mets anymore, Corey.
We don't have to do what?
But I mean, Wheeler, the most promising thing about him was that the velocity has been really good this spring. It's more about the velo than the results.
Okay. All right,
so I had to throw a velo in there.
No. I love the velo reference right there. Well, now, what about the other kid, the Puerto Rican, Lugo?
Well, I mean, Lugo last season, I think, overperformed down the stretch. He did very well for the most part in the WBC. He's gotten lit up the last two starts for the Mets. And I don't think he's I don't think he's really... He's more of a spot starter, you know, maybe long relief guy. I think Gesellman is definitely superior to him. So, I mean, that's my take on Seth Lugo.
So, but Matz is likely not going to be in the rotation to start the season, though, right?
It looks like he's going to start on the DL, maybe. They have no...
So, it's Syndergaard, DeGrom... No,
Syndergaard, DeGrom, Harvey,
Gesellman, and then who?
It's going to come down to either Wheeler or Lugo would get the start for maybe like if they want to just keep Wheeler back for a little extended spring training for maybe two more weeks. You give.
But I think given that if Wheeler's a fifth starter, they probably could maneuver given against Eber. They probably can maneuver around. He doesn't start for another 10 days anyway.
Yeah, that's the perfect point there, Greg. A lot of times, the first couple of weeks, you don't need that fifth starter because they have those dates built in for the home openers for every team. They have like a rain date and all that. So there's an off day usually built in all around these. So, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, Wheeler is somebody you should take later on and
see what happens.
The upside is there.
So I'm looking at I'll be honest, they got a decent squad.
Mets?
You
know, you're in on the Mets now?
I'm not in on them. I said they have a decent team.
Well,
it's about
that if word. If the pitchers can stay healthy, I do really like this team, but like I said, I still don't know.
Reyes?
Yeah, I mean, look, Jose. If we didn't have Jose Reyes to play third base right now,
he'd be screwed.
The Mets would be pretty much
screwed.
Rivera
would be up.
He's signing first baseman, Team Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I know, but is he ready for the big show yet? You know what I'm saying?
TJ Rivera's not very nice.
He's from the Boogie Down.
The Boogie Down Bronx.
So they got to ask Rubel Cabrera. He's decent.
We mentioned Jerry Familia, who looks like he's really suspended less than 30 games, which is obviously good for him. Good stuff there. Another big story, sticking with the pitching theme, as we talked about Hyunjin Ryu, and of course we've spoken about Zach Wheeler, I got to get to Daniel Norris, who I drafted earlier this week. I drafted him on Sunday night. Now all of a sudden, last night, he says, I have dead arm and allowed 75 runs in one inning. So
they left him in to take that ass cutting, too.
He basically said he couldn't feel his arm throw.
Well, in spring training, pitchers usually do go through this. This is like not something out of the norm. Let him get over it now. The season's on the horizon. He's not going to be starting like game one or two for them anyway. So, you know, he's still an arm that I'm intrigued by and that I would draft.
Yeah, so he said, like, so after he got beat up yesterday, he said that his arm feels like it weighs 1 million pounds. That's not good. That's what Peyton Manning on feel like when he was throwing them interceptions late in his career and throwing them ducks. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, he said that he's experienced this before, so he doesn't think it'd carry into the regular season. So, Greg, you do have, you know, reason to still be optimistic.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Danny Salazar gave us a Danny Salazar line last night. We struck out 9 guys in 5 innings, a lot of couple of long balls. The walks were, you know, a couple of walks. Danny Salazar, as long as he does that, it's what I expect.
Yeah, Danny Salazar, you know, is Danny Salazar. But, I mean, I had the game on in the background while I was drafting.
Yep.
And, I mean, Wilson Contreras crushed that one. But he was looking pretty damn good, too. I mean,
okay.
His stuff looked, when I got to see of it, looked on point. And he's an arm that's somebody you want to, look, he's not a foundation arm, but he's an arm that 3 or 4 can really help you.
Okay. I like Danny Salazar's 3 or 4. I have him. We've talked about this yesterday a bit. I know we talk a lot about the same guys, but that's who we like. I have Salazar mixed in with your boys, Paxton McCullers. I think it's a good spot for him. Because of you, I'll have Paxton up top because it's James Paxton, and you know he is the best of all time, seemingly.
I wanted to take Paxton so bad, but I had to go with Miguel Sano there. I wanted that third base outfield eligibility and the power that he brings. So it was really tough. I took Sano, and then 2 picks later, Paxton went. I was hoping to gamble that he would make it back to me. That was in the 8th round.
See, now, are you also taking Paxton over Salazar?
I probably would. Okay. Yeah, I have him higher. I definitely would. But, I mean, Salazar's another guy I really like, too.
So, I know.
I mean,
yeah, no, I know.
He's a nice next-in-line kind of, you know, in that Lance McCullers.
I know. All right. Continuing the pitching theme. Hey, Corey, you know who had a pitch's last spring training start yesterday?
Who's that?
My favorite pitcher.
Who's your favorite pitcher?
Mm-hmm.
Who is it, Greg?
Shelby Miller.
Oh, your boy. Yeah, that's right.
Shelby Miller.
How'd he do last night?
You know, it was all right.
It was just all right, Greg?
It was fine. Shelby Miller. I'll give you the line. Hold on. Shelby Miller last night for the Arizona Diamondbacks gave up 2 runs over 4 1/3 inning. It's all right. So I'm waiting for you, Corey, no?
No, it's decent. You know what I'm saying? Listen, it's not like he has been great during the spring. You know what I'm saying?
He has a 6.46 ERA.
Yeah, exactly. But he hasn't really, you know, we're seeing the strikeouts a little bit more, you know, so it's he's still a very risky proposition to send him out there because he can ruin your season in one outing.
I mean, that's the thing, like Corey's saying. It's a risky proposition. I think Shelby Miller is going to be better than our expectations. But what are our expectations? You know, you can classify that. I'm just not sure that I want to be the guy that's going to have to go through it with Shelby Miller.
You don't want to catch. You don't want to catch that start. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think he's going to have some really good ones, and then
he's
going to
have
some grenades in there as well.
Yeah, you're going to have to wet your pants, a couple of them.
Yeah, for sure. No question about that. What about a guy like Jesse Chavez? He's a name we have not mentioned. He pitches for the Angels now, and he's going to be in the rotation. He pitched unbelievably last night. He was in the bullpen all year last year. Now, Jesse Chavez is a guy that's had some success in the past for Oakland, and then a year later, started the year in the minors, and he was pissed, and eventually he got traded away, and was stuck in the bullpen last year. Now he's in the rotation for the Angels, and the Angels are one of these teams that people kind of see and be like, all right, maybe they'll be a little bit better than we think. I don't know. Chavez, is he a name should be a fantasy radars?
Not right now. I mean, deep leagues, yeah, if you want, you know. But even in like my 15-teamer, I don't believe he was drafted last night.
In like a mono league?
Yeah, I mean, it's somebody that, you know, you keep your eye on because there. I mean, look, after the 23rd, you know, after like from round 20 on, there's going to be a lot of people changing some rosters, some guys getting dropped on Sunday night, other guys getting added, and we'll see, you know, how things turn out. But he is, I'll say this, it's definitely not a bad ballpark to pitch in Anaheim. He's, you know, he's flashed a little here and there. I think he's more of a reliever than a starter. But now that he has a rotation spot, he's somebody that warrants a watch list in deep leagues.
So that's all right. So there you go. Just keep Jesse Chavez on the watch list. Someone to remember in the middle of that Angels rotation. Two big time guys now before we hit the break. First, John Lester without David Ross. Uncharacteristically struggling in the spring. I get it. It's the spring. Will it carry over, Corey?
Oh, I mean, listen, it's tough when you don't got your guy out there with you. But this guy's a pro's pro. He's been doing it for years and years. I'm not going to put no stock into it right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think, as Laura said, Lester is a proven professional. I mean, the guy just pitches 200 innings every year, close to 200 strikeouts. I'd have my expectations of the 2015 John Lester opposed to the 2016. And the 2015 John Lester is still very good. And, you know, somebody you should be drafting.
2015 John Lester, so everybody knows, give me the stats out one more time. 11-12, 200 innings pitched, went 11-12, a 3.34 ERA compared to a 2.44 ERA.
That's what I was focusing on, the ERA. I mean, somebody you're going to draft high, but I mean, even a 3.34.
Nothing wrong with that.
In today's world, it's fine.
Yeah, absolutely nothing wrong with that. And then you got Madison Bumgarner last night. He pitched his final tune up, and, you know, people were a little concerned about Madison Bumgarner. Things have gone not exactly his way in the spring. He pitched like a billion shutout innings last night, and he's fine.
Yeah, Madison Bumgarner is, you know, he's a rock.
And there you go. That's none of our pitching performances here for today. Come back. A couple more hitting performances, including Mike Napoli, Nick Castellanos, Dexter Fowler. Those three guys next. You know, Little Experts. So, talk about some of these hitters, gentlemen. Including a powerful hitter like Mike Napoli. First baseman for Texas, good stadium. His third time, of course, being with the Texas Rangers. Now, you look at first base, and I look at Napoli. Where do you even have Napoli on this list? Is he on this list? I don't have him on the list. Here, all right, I didn't even see him. Okay. Well, let me first start off here. Guys, what do you think of Mike Napoli?
Well, you know what he is. You know what I'm saying? He's a professional power hitter going strikeout 25% of the time, more than likely somewhere in that range. But other than that, he's going to hit you 25 bombs. He comes with a batting average in the 230s, though. So, you know, better DFS guy. You know what I'm saying? On a nightly, you know, when the numbers are going his way, he can get that part of it done. Drive in some runs in the middle of that lineup, maybe get you about 80 RBIs, but that 230 batting average is tough to take, so roster construction is key to drafting Mike Napoli. He's probably one of your corner infielders.
Yeah, he's been going pretty late. He actually went a little higher last night than mine. I think he went in the 15th, which is definitely much higher than I've seen this past weekend. But he's in a ballpark that he's familiar with, in the middle of a very good lineup. So there are things to like about Napoli. I mean, I think last season was his career year, but I mean, could he possibly repeat the numbers minus the batting average in 2011 with the Rangers? That's an outside shot. I mean, I don't know if he's going to get to 30, but I think the mid-20s should be definitely doable.
All right. So with that being said, with what you're giving me here, would you rather have my favorite game? Would you rather have Mike Napoli or Adrian Gonzalez?
I'm going to go with Adrian Gonzalez. Once again, there should be a significant difference in the batting average. I mean, maybe Napoli hits like 7 to 10 more home runs, but I think Adrian Gonzalez has driven in like 90 runs like every year for like the last, you know, in two decades or something. However long that dude's been playing.
The question goes to you, Corey Parson.
Back of the baseball card.
Adrian Gonzalez. Yeah. Okay. Mike Napoli or Brandon Belt?
For me, it's Brandon Belt. I'm going to go with the average. I'm still going to hold that hope that there is the power potential. Maybe it'll never be reached, but he can increase that. You know, maybe do some more damage on the road. He's the guy that's not going to hurt you. I'm going to go Brandon Belt.
Okay, Corey?
Yeah, I like Brandon Belt also.
All right, so I also have these guys above him for the record. I also have my man Albert Pujols and Kendrys Morales both over him as well.
Yeah, both of those should definitely.
I wasn't even asking. Yeah, I was pretty confident with that one. All right, here's the last two, and I think are really good. Greg Bird or Mike Napoli?
That is actually a good one.
I told you that was a good one.
Everybody's got Greg Bird, you know. He's going to hit 35 home runs now this year.
Yeah.
I'm still a little concerned about Greg Bird's average and see how he does with that. Could he hit higher than, say, Mike Napoli? Yeah, I believe he could. I believe he could be a 250, 260 hitter. The ballpark is definitely a favorable thing for him, but I would take the gamble probably on Greg Bird to see what happens there. I mean, I kind of know what Napoli is, but I'll take a gamble at that time.
You know, I'm back at a baseball card. You know what I mean? I don't want to get too excited about upside. So shucks. And Greg Bird was good in spring training.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to go Greg Bird.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that ballpark, just it's tough to, that right field porch is kind of tough to ignore.
Yep, it is.
Okay, so there you go. So that's where you are sticking.
Then, you know, normally I would go with the veteran, you know what I'm saying?
Well, he's a Yankee, that's probably, you know.
I don't know.
Mike Napoli or Byung-ho Park? Another spring darling for you after Greg Bird.
Yeah, suddenly, the last couple of weeks, I'm loaded up on Byung-ho Park. If I knew Park was going to get all the at-bats and the plate appearance, you know, that's the thing. I'm going to go Napoli probably for the fact that he's got that. Yeah, I mean, I've seen him do it. He's got the cleanup spot in Texas. So it's Napoli because I'm really not sure of what Park is totally going to be. I love what I'm seeing here, and I'm not sure what the plate appearance is. The Twins are a little kooky too, so don't know.
Yeah, the plate appearances are going to be the problem for the young man out here, because you really don't know how much work he's going to get. So I think, you know, is he lines up, I guess, with to be the everyday designated hitter. Vargas is struggling with injury right now, right?
Kenneth Vargas, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Something with the foot or something like that. They're saying he still could make, the, you know, be ready for opening day.
Yeah.
If I got a Jeff Galuli him, I will.
I'm gonna go with Mike Napoli.
Okay.
Basically, so the same type of guys though, but Mike Napoli is locked into the spot.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's got the role.
Yeah, and
then
Napoli has a better ballpark. You know what I mean?
Okay, so. Last one for you, Victor Martinez or Mike Napoli?
It's V-Mart for me.
No question there. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I still like what V-Mart does. I know he's an injury risk. Last year, he batted almost 290, hit like 27 home runs. He's in the Tigers lineup, which is a nice lineup to live in. So I've been taking him this weekend. I took him again last night. He's a guy that when you need some, he'll help you with the average. You know, try and rise some low tides that, you know, that will drain on you. So, I like V-Mart. The only question is, can he stay healthy?
Okay. There you go. Your first baseman, Mike Napoli style. Other guys that interest me here. Someone we talked about before, Corey, you like him, and that's Nick Castellanos here.
Man, he's gonna bet Nick.
He's going to bet second, it looks like, for Detroit, or maybe now in the middle of the order, given J.D. Martinez's injury. But we talked about Victor Martinez just a second ago. Nick Castellanos, former top prospect, in a spot hitting, theoretically, in front of Miguel Cabrera. Where is the right spot to draft him, Modiga?
The right spot for him to go is right around that 12 range. If you know, round 12 seems to be a sweet spot for him. And if you had to go around 11, you know, you wanted that third baseman, you know, or kind of going off the board. And I have no problem with that neither.
Is he a corner guy or is he a consolation prize third baseman?
I wouldn't have a problem starting him as my third baseman.
Yeah.
You know, if he's my corner guy, I feel a lot better. My plan was last night, I took Sano in the eighth. I had the third base outfield position. The ninth, I came around and took Jake Lamb. And I was one pick away in the 12th from taking Nick Castellanos. Mike Moustakas went two picks prior. The next pick was Castellanos.
Yeah.
So that's when I said, you know what? He's on the board still. I'm going to take a shot with this guy. Even if I got to wait a month, I took David Dahl.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
But I did want Nick Castellanos there.
I so Nick Castellanos, David, like, that's actually a very good one for me, David Dahl, like where you would be drafting him. I think that's a really good one. So for me, I look at Castellanos, and Castellanos or another spring darling, Mike Moustakas.
I'm a big Moose fan too, but I'm going to go with Castellanos. Like I said, I think I have Jake Lamb over both of them.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. But it's not that far. I mean, it's not an outrageous thing, you know. But I'm a big Lamb fan. But I'm also a big Nick Castellanos fan. I just thought I had a little more time to wait. And I knew at that point in the 12th, I had to take him there. And I was all ready to. Once I heard that guy take Moustakas, which I was surprised, I thought maybe I would have went Nick Castellanos. But it's really not that big of a deal. But once I heard Moustakas' name, I kind of figured Castellanos was next.
Yeah.
That was the case.
100%. 100%. I don't really have another one that's comparable.
You did a good job.
We could do Ryan Healy.
So it's funny. You say Ryan Healy. So I have Nick Castellanos, right? Then I have Brandon Drury, who we talked about a lot because I love Brandon Drury. And the next two were Yuli Gurriel, who we talked about last week, and Ryan Healy. So I have them within three spots of each other. I would prefer Castellanos. What about you guys?
It's a tough one right here.
I mean, for me, it's Castellanos, Moustakas, Healy. But it's I mean...
Okay, I have Moustakas, Castellanos, Healy, in that order.
What's his name? I'm trying to look for where... Brandon Drury, I would definitely want it, and I'm trying to figure out where he went.
And you know I have Drury. You know I'm going to draft Brandon Drury because I'm an idiot, and he's going to suck.
I like Castellanos, Healy, Moustakas.
Okay. Yeah, I figured that. You're a Castellanos guy.
Yeah.
He happens at the beginning of spring.
Yeah, whatever.
So you like your guy.
We had him for, didn't I do him on Shark Tank?
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think if you miss out on any of those three and you can grab Brandon Drury, that's a damn fine option.
I like Drury.
We got him on
Drury more than Ryan Healy and Yulias Gurriel.
Oh, yeah. Over those two, I think I'm with you on that as well.
I have Drury just under Castellanos and Moustakas on my rankings.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, though. Healy does have some...
But because of how much I like Brandon Drury, I can see myself letting Castellanos and Moustakas go and just get Drury a round or two later. Like, I can see myself doing that.
Yeah, this is a nice little spot. Anywhere between, like, 11 to 14, all these guys live in that range.
Yep.
So, I mean, even if you paired them up, like, say you took Castellanos... I said you took Brandon Drury, and then you could insert him as your middle infielder,
sure.
You know, 10 games in. That's
you know what I do, though, Matt? I find myself in those middle rounds. Like, my lineup, you know, I need an extra outfielder. I need an extra utility. I need an extra corner middle infielder. Right? Like, just a couple of pieces, right? But remember those middle rounds, 11 to 14, 15, 16, 17, like those right in the middle of the draft. And maybe you guys can speak to this. But at that point, and it happened in this draft in the night, I just find myself taking pitching. Like, I just throw a billion pitchers out there. And, like, a Brandon Drury is a guy I can get later on and not... And I like him, so it's fine. I can find my corner infield, right? Like, I could draft a Matt Holliday or CJ Cron. You've been talking about a lot about this week. I could draft him later on, 20th round, give or take. I find myself constantly in 11 to 15. That's pretty much the range. Pitching. Drafting the Jarrell Cottons and the Daniel Norrises and the Ivan Novas, the Jared Eichhoffs, those type of guys all in there, and drafting a million of them and hoping that one or two really pay off. That is the most common draft, I don't want to say strategy, but draft repetitiveness, I guess, in that I constantly see my trend. That is the constant draft trend I see myself doing.
You know, I mean, that's not a bad thing, too. You know, go with some volume. One or two works out for you. As long as you have a nice foundation, you know what I'm saying? That's not something... I mean, I took, in a 15-team league, one of the reasons I didn't get Brandon Drury is Matt Shoemaker was still on the board. I wanted him. He was part of my game plan. And I guess that caused me to miss out on Brandon Drury.
What about you, Corey? When it comes to those rounds, do you find yourself going pitching or you're just still, you know, filling it out?
I'm probably, that's like the BPA rounds for me. I really don't have no set strategy when it comes to attacking that area of the draft right there. So I think it mix and matches and goes depending on how the flow of the draft board is going. Excuse me.
Fair enough. All right, we're going to take a break here. You okay?
Yeah, I'm just clear.
Actually, before we go to break, I talked about this guy a little bit yesterday. I wanted to go dive into him a bit more because he's the last hitter on my list for today. Dexter Fowler.
I love Dexter Fowler.
You love Dexter Fowler. Now, he's one of these guys
that... He's not healthy, though.
He's not healthy?
He doesn't... You know, he gets banged up throughout the course of the season.
Dexter Fowler is a guy that has a very high on-base percentage. He can top a good lineup in St. Louis. He's one of these guys that we always forget about. Runs scored. Dexter Fowler scores a lot of runs. He's going to hit, again, on top of a good lineup. Over the last couple of years, with the Cubs, played 125 games last year. The OBP was 393. Back in 2015, played 156 games. OBP was 346. He's a guy that, I don't even know he played. I don't remember he played for the Astros. I forgot about that year. Fowler, 375 OBP. He's a guy that gets on base. Counting stats are never, you know, unbelievable. 13-13 last year with 84 runs, 48 ribbies, and 125 games. In the full season the year before, he had 100 runs scored, 17 home runs, 20 stolen bases. In those categories of stolen bases and the home runs, it's not going to be anything crazy. But the runs scored are potentially the game changer here.
Yep.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. I mean, 15 with 100 runs is pretty damn good. You know, it's the whole, as Corey said, he's got to get those games played, those plate appearances. That's the main issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, the games played have to come up. And I think once you see the games played come up, you can really see an exciting fantasy asset. Like you said, 15-50 doesn't sound like much, but those run scores, not to mention the fact if you're in an OBP league, you know what I mean, he does a good job in that. Nice, you know, you don't have to overpay for him on draft day. It's just a matter of, you know, you got to get out there and, you know, hustle it out, young man.
Yeah, he's hanging around in drafts. He's shaking it. If you want him, you know, you can purchase him.
Where?
It's
with the mid-teens?
Yeah, like the mid-teen range is where he's usually chilling. I'm trying to get the exact spot where he went out to go.
It's the latest up-to-the-date draft information here.
I'm trying to find
this draft was done last night.
Literally.
This 12 hours ago, this draft was being done.
Dexter Fowler was the first pick in the 13th round.
13.
That seems so late.
Yeah.
No?
And he was one pick ahead of Gregory Bird.
That seems so late to me, given that he could be 15-15. He could score 100 runs, which is a game changer, as we just said. I don't know. He's someone that just seems undervalued to me yearly. Like, for me, would you rather have Dexter Fowler?
Well, it's the games played. It's the injuries.
Played 156 games 2 years ago.
2 years ago, but other than
yeah, but he hasn't been able to 2 years ago.
Yeah,
more of like 125.
Yeah, 125, 116. Would you rather have 119, 125?
Right, can I give you some names here? Would you rather Dexter Fowler or Carlos Beltran?
I'd rather have Fowler this season.
Yeah, I'd rather go Fowler, too.
Fowler or Lorenzo Cain?
I'm going to go Low Cain.
Really?
Low Cain? Is that a thing? Low Cain?
Low Cain. Right. Lorenzo Cain.
Oh. Dexter Fowler or Keon Broxton?
Wow. The upside play, huh? I'm going to... Maybe I'm duped into it. I think I'm going to go with the upside. Though I do like Fowler in St. Louis, but that ballpark in Miller Park is really nice. I mean, that 36% strikeout percentage scares the hell out of me, though. But I think Broxton could be that, you know, 20, 30, maybe better. But he could also be in the minor league. So if you don't mind risk, then it's Keon Broxton.
And 36% strikeout rate is that's healthy. That's a healthy strikeout rate right there.
That's taking cuts.
he don't cheat himself.
Dexter Fowler or Michael Brantley?
You know what? I'm gonna go Fowler. I think take the average out, and they're a lot more similar. Obviously, Bradley's got the higher average. He's got more power, but I don't know how his power's going to play with the shoulder.
Dexter Fowler, Nomar Mazara.
I'm going to go Fowler. Of course, he's going to contribute in the stolen bases. I mean, Mazara's going to hit more homers. I think Mazara might be one more year away. He will be a stud at some point. I mean, he could do it this year, but I'm thinking it's next year. That's me. So for the full package, I'm going to go Fowler.
Last one, Dexter Fowler, Marcelo Zuna.
Ozuna's another guy that just, I mean, he has, it's like, you know, the potential's there. Is it ever going to fully pay off in a season? I mean, once again, I'm going to take. I do like Fowler and St. Louis atop that order. I think it was a good signing for them for their lineup. They needed a center fielder. I'm going to bank that he can maybe play that 150 games this year and be closer, you know, 15-15, closer, possibly closer to 2020, and give you the runs. Give me Fowler.
I like Fowler also over Osuna. All right, that's it for our hitters or pitchers today. We're going to come back to a little football next here on the Roto Experts. This gun song, it scares me. It's really dying. For protection. The Oakland Raiders are no longer. Yeah. You don't want to do that in Oakland. Is no longer a thing because the Oakland Raiders are officially moving to Vegas. 31-1 the vote. Miami was the only team to say no. And that means they're going to play a couple more years in Oakland. And then they out of here and headed out to Vegas. Corey, I know you think this is a horrible idea. You've been very, very against this from the beginning. Now it's official.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to happen. So Vegas and NFL, that's going to be very intriguing to see how that plays out. Of course, you've got that Raider fan base. I don't know. I think it's a tough look. So apparently the NFL think it's a good idea. So I'm going to go with it on that one. But I don't know if the Oakland Raiders. And then, of course, it's the city of Oakland is losing all their sports teams. All in 5 years, all their teams will be gone.
That's a possibility. You're right there, Corey.
Yeah, I mean, so, but like, I can never blame, and I always say this, I can never blame a city you're not willing to pay for a billionaire stadium.
Like, what? No, exactly.
Why should I take money out of my pocket? Yeah. I have a lot less money than Mark Davis does.
Yeah, no, huh?
So I can't blame them.
Can't
yeah,
blame
I mean,
who?
I hear you. I
I can't blame the city. I blame the owner.
Yeah, you blame the owner. Yeah, no doubt about it.
I think the crazy thing is, like, growing up and stuff, it was always, like, taboo with, like, sports franchises or sports players in Vegas. Now we have a hockey team. We're going to have a football team. I'm sure the NBA and the MLB will follow suit. And, you know, you're going to be going to Vegas and they're going to have everything there for you.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Would you go to a game in Vegas?
No.
I don't think I would go to a game in Vegas.
So here's an interesting one. Kind of similar. So my buddy is a big Jaguars fan. True story, when he exists. He's a huge Jaguars fan. And he's going to his bachelor party. He's getting married next January. His bachelor party is in London.
Jeez.
And tell me about it. I don't know. I don't. At this point, I don't know if I can go. I don't know if I can afford to go.
Yeah.
Right? So his bachelor party is in London. And why?
Jaguars.
He wants to go to a Jaguars game in London.
Makes sense.
So, it doesn't make sense, actually.
Yeah, I can go to London for a lot of other things.
Right.
Like, because you can see the Jaguars playing.
I can see Jaguars at MetLife. Or you can see them at MetLife when they come.
Yeah.
So.
And you can have a bachelor party in Jacksonville.
I wanted to. I wanted to sit at the pool with the girls in the Jacksonville. I wouldn't go that.
I would go, too.
Yeah, Corey Parson would come. So, to answer your question about Vegas now. If my team was in, the Giants were in Vegas, I'm not going to say the Raiders. If the Giants were playing the Raiders in Vegas, would I go? Yeah, I think I would.
I mean, I would go to a game out there. I don't see why I wouldn't. If I was there and, you know, I mean, I take the time. It's only going to be like, what, 3 hours, 4 hours of my game?
If the Cowboys was out there for a game.
Yeah.
But that's Sunday morning. I'd be working. You know what I'm saying?
I'd
be here.
take work out of it. Out of it. Because this is obviously not involving work. If you were a fan, you're a Cowboys fan,
Monday,
right?
Like Monday night game in Vegas?
Monday night game in Vegas. You're a Cowboys fan. I don't think you're going out to Vegas to see your team, but I think if you're in Vegas, I think you would plan a trip around your team being there potentially. Like, all right, I know for a while in April when the schedule comes out, I know the Cowboys play this weekend in Vegas. I think you would plan a trip around that.
Yeah, why not? Why wouldn't you? I would do it.
All the Cowboy fans would be out there too. We hooting and hollering.
You'd be seeing over
Raider, stars. Hey, listen, the Raider fans, I don't want no trouble, Raider fans.
I don't want no trouble.
Because I'll bring it, you know what I'm saying?
Your question, yes, I would go. Now, does Vegas have enough of a local population to hold a team? I don't know. Will the fans travel from California to Vegas? I don't know. That has to be answered. Will they have a home field advantage? I don't know. Will their players literally just go out on the strip every night? Yes, I do know that. I don't need to not know that.
Yeah, that's a dangerous situation. Yeah. You know, you got to watch when you know when this does become a reality. Like, you got fantasy players. You know, players are having enough trouble staying, you know, walking that fine line in other cities, and then you go to Vegas.
I am. And that's the biggest problem, right, Corey?
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting, but I just feel bad for the city of Oakland.
Yeah, and I do too. I mean, like, what's going to happen these next, like, 2-3 years? Like, I mean, maybe next year people will still show up because the Raiders are really good. But once you know, like, that maybe that last year they're leaving, who the hell's going?
Yeah, I know. All right, the other football news that I wanted to get to with the Raiders is Derek Carr will be 100% for training camp after breaking his leg. That's good.
That's good.
For in Vegas, you know. What if they should do training camp in Vegas? Get ready.
I guess. Well, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, it's the see, he's put me in charge. He will be 100% for training camp. But you know who will not be?
Mr. Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck, who I don't want to say he's injury prone, but like I feel like year after year we keep talking about Andrew Luck not ready for training camp. He had surgery. He had this shoulder thing, a neck thing, a back thing.
He'll be out there week one.
He will be. Are you nervous about Andrew Luck a little bit?
Oh, I want him to drag it out. Him don't play no preseason games. I want the whole thing so people could jump on him off draft day. And he can start to slip and fall coming off a season where people looked at being disappointment last year. Let him slip on draft day, and that's a buying opportunity for me. So,
let me ask you, what's more of a buying opportunity? Say, look like slipping, as you're saying, this scenario playing out. Is it more of a T.Y. Hilton buy for you? Buying up
both. But I would... See, Hilton's not. I'm on Hilton, so he's not going to drop. You know what I'm saying? So I'm comfortable with Hilton. But if you see, like you say, where you can get a discount.
No, but I'm saying I know you're on Hilton, and he's not going to drop for you. But if people are hearing Andrew Luck might not be ready for the start of the season, they're going to be Hilton, like, "Well, who's going to throw Hilton the ball?"
Oh, please, if you can catch Hilton in the second round, and maybe start with a Mike Evans T.Y. Hilton combo. You'd be cooking with gas right there. So it's going to be something interesting to pay attention for. They've already hinted towards he could not be ready for the start of training camp. I don't see no way where he misses week one. I think he's out there. But, yeah, if you know, both players could present a buying opportunity, I like it. People might dumb down Hilton because they figure a full season of Moncrief. But T.Y. Hilton just the OG. He's the man.
Okay. Final break here of the program. We're going to come back and talk about the quarterback that's not going to retire until he's 50 years old. Stick around. We Roto Experts wraps up next. Final couple of minutes of the Roto Experts in the morning here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Andrew Luck may not be ready for training camp.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, he's going to be, and he's not quitting anytime soon. In fact, Robert Kraft said yesterday that he expects, Brady told him he wants to play another 6 to 7 years. Brady's going to be 40, and he wants to play until he's 47 years old.
I'm so tired of Tom Brady.
What?
That's the offseason talking.
Yeah, exactly. Not going to play until you're 47 years old, though. He might make 43.
Maybe. So you're saying he only has three years left?
Yeah, he might make 43. He's not playing until he's 47 years old. He's not going to be a 50-year-old quarterback. That's crazy.
This
seems so unnecessary.
If Tom Brady suffers like a major injury, then I don't see him coming back.
Oh, I agree.
Or maybe he comes back for
one more year, yeah.
Just to say.
All right. Robert Kraft also talked about how Brandon Cooks is going to be the best player ever, pretty much.
I was telling you.
He did.
They're going to use him. Brandon Cooks is not the talent that Randy Moss is. But Brandon Cooks could pop the top on the defense, and they're going to throw it down. They're going to throw the football down the field to him. He's going to score between 12 and 15 touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm a Corey. I still like him. I see a lot of people that are throwing shade on him on Twitter. But, I mean, I like Moss. I think there's plenty to go around in there. And I think the touchdowns are going to be the big boom for him.
Brandon Cooks is interesting because initially when it happened, I talked about how I believe that Brandon Cooks was another cog in the offense, and that his value from New Orleans, New England doesn't really change all that much because there's so many other guys there. hearing those comments yesterday, they want to, he's the most explosive guy they have since Randy Moss. That's interesting. Like, that makes me think twice. And I'm going to want a piece, right? Like, you want a piece of that offense. Just like in New Orleans, like, you want a piece. You, I mean, not really. You want Michael Thomas, not a piece. You want Michael Thomas. But New England, like, you want pieces because you want, when they score a billion points, you want them. And that's kind of where I am with Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, like you said, there's going to be games where they're just going to light people up. And the division they play in is conducive to that as well.
That's it for the NFL. Do you have any other NFL notes, Corey?
Tony Romo still lingering out there. Really, that's about it. The Lions tend to think that Adrian Peterson can play. They're not going to pay him the kind of money he wants, though. If I'm the Lions, I would try it again with Ameer Abdullah this upcoming season. So, man, nothing really. It's kind of slow.
Where do you think Ameer Abdullah goes in drafts this year? Where did he go in yours, if you remember?
He went, I have to pull it up. Ameer Abdullah is probably more than likely going to go in he's going to be in the winning rounds, the 7 to 11 type area, the where you get those hidden gems at. He's going to come into place as a 3, RB3 flex/flex option in those areas. So if you go wide receiver heavy, you'll be drafting him as an RB2. If he plays, I think he could have some action.
Yeah, you think he could be like a theoretic,
But then with some running upside too.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna try that.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, I know. I think a dude. I still think
you're still in
can
on
play.
Him.
Yeah.
You're still in it. You're still.
He hasn't had the
on
opportunity
it.
Yet. You know what I mean? Injuries have cost him, but if he gets a chance to get out there. I think Abdullah can he's a player, like I said, the winning round, 7 to 11. He's a player that can help you win.
Okay. I wanted to kind of wrap up with the basketball, though, because the Cavs got wrecked last night, Corey.
Yeah, they lost by 30?
By 30.
That's crazy. That's good for them. They're not in first place in the Eastern Conference no more.
That was where I was getting to. So they lost by literally 30 last night. LeBron got hit in the neck. Kyrie hit 8 points. It was bad. And now, if you look at the Eastern Conference standings, they are no longer in first place.
Who's number one? Boston?
The Boston Celtics.
Glory, I think this is good for the NBA, if anything.
A little intrigue?
Yeah. It's not like, I mean, I'm sure come the playoffs, it will be a slam dunk when everybody's healthy. But creates a little drama.
Yeah, it creates a drama until you see LeBron on the court and you're like, well, this is clearly they're the best team in the Eastern Conference. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Who would be their first round playoff matchup and who would be the seventh seed?
Right now?
Yeah.
If the playoffs started today, you would have Boston taking on 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It would be Boston versus Miami, the Heat.
Okay.
And the Cleveland Cavaliers against the Indiana Pacers.
They'll wipe the floor.
However, the Hawks, Bucks, and Pacers all have the same record. This is crazy. The 5, 6, and 7 team all have the same record at 37-36. Do any of those teams scare you?
No. It's the big four at the top of the East. It is Boston, Cleveland, Toronto, and Washington.
Yeah.
Now, a Washington and Cleveland series, I think, would be an excellent second
round. You've been saying that all the whole time. Toronto-Cleveland, man.
Because it'd be right down the street. MCI Center.
We're in New York.
I know, but if they play on a Saturday, Greg.
We're going to D.C.?
Yeah, we go down there and go to the game, and then I take you to my train. Spot afterwards.
That was what I was hoping for. That was what I really wanted, to go to your spot after the game. Experience life in the fast lane. Yeah. By the way, after the 30-point win last night with KD's injury, Golden State only 2 games up on San Antonio in the West.
2 games up?
Mm-hmm.
People thought they were going to lose the lead altogether.
It's true. You realize that Golden State, by the way, I've quietly won 7 in a row?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
And if I'm not mistaken, next week, Kevin Durant will be traveling with them.
Really? Uh-huh. Cutting back. To answer your question during the break, Matt, Oklahoma City is the 6th seed right now. 11 games over 500 with Russell Westbrook and nobody else. In the 7th seed, Memphis pretty comfortably. And then Portland has just overtaken Denver for that 8th spot. The two of them going back and forth for the 8th spot in the Western Conference.
Portland should be better.
Well, they've gotten a lot better since Joseph Nurkic showed up. Which is funny because Denver, of course, traded Nurkic away to Portland. So they kind of screwed themselves over a little bit. But that's okay. That's okay. What's up on the OGs today, Corey?
Today on the OGs, we're going to talk about change. And we're going to talk about adapting and advancing and you know, sometimes breaking out of our bubble and breaking out of our shell and trying new things and trying to get involved with new things when it comes to your fantasy sports addiction.
There you go. Addiction and change. The story on the OG. You have to listen in for the next hour with Corey Scott and George. For Corey Parson, for Matt Modica, I'm Greg Sussman. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning, the Roto Experts in the Morning. We'll be back tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. And remember, don't lock yourselves out of your own profiles. It's a terrible feeling. Bye-bye, everybody!